Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So let me weave a little bit of context before I bring in our splendiferous, perfect for now guest, Elaine Mayumi Whitefeather, in moments. So we meet. The reason we have her also, too, is we meet at this very powerful time. It's a wild ride. We want to be aware of danger. You know, and so to help us out, cooperators are standing by. You know, what's rising due east now is Ceres Demeter, goddess of the earth, right on the horizon. And the image for that degree is sitting before a blazing fire, the unconditional dedication of the self with all of its skills to collective well-being. Pluto, part of all of us, likes a mission. Pluto's stationing direct tomorrow at 5:34 p.m. Pacific time. We'll talk more about that in our conversing. But it's a time that invites us to participate. Pluto says, that is dangerous and volatile in direct proportion to the force of its exclusion. So the whole tradition of dancing with demons, and that anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and fizzle like a wet firecracker fart. But of course, there's so much Pluto already going on, you know, the ongoing 170 journalists killed in Gaza, and 2 days ago more, you know, anyone fighting for truth as Bissan tells us is under attack, and all these things we gotta know as Earth citizens. So, Pluto has also dark humor. These are deconditioning transits that we're all navigating. And Pluto says, you know, what do you say? Who do you say you are? Or what do you do? You know, and whatever we answer, Pluto goes, good cover. We're all undercover agents. And the moon is in Capricorn, which I like Daniel Gemario saying that the earliest image for the moon in Capricorn was the Council of Wise Beings dedicated to the next seven generations. Right next to Ceres Demeter, we're here to protect the Earth. We'll honor many things. So Pluto stations direct tomorrow. Everybody, you know, stir your cauldrons, invite in what we need to turn the bubbling cauldron of the poison in the cauldron, to turn it into elixir of democracy and democratic animism and protection of the Earth and honoring goodness in all beings. And Jupiter, storytelling, intelligence, stationed retrograde yesterday at 12:05 a.m. So Jupiter and Pluto let us tell stories of redemptive possibility. So more than perfectly, with awareness of danger and guiding liberating narrative, it's two dragons. We welcome Elaine Mayumi Whitefeather, honoring the power and the contribution of multiracial women, especially now. Welcome, Elaine. Hi.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Because I was pondering. I've been thinking about you since we met, thanks to our wonderful Ellie Painted Crow, doing that. Going, ooh, the conversation that we began then, you know, which I'll return back to. But if you want to read your book bio just to introduce yourself to everybody, that is wonderful too.
Thank you. All right, I'm honored. In the winter season of my life, I am honored to offer service to our greater sisterhood at such a time as this. After spending 4 decades serving women and children around our Mother Earth, I leave behind a path of advocacy, activism, and innovative ways of healing and empowering women rooted in the strength, wisdom, and principles of my multicultural heritage, the red, black, yellow, and white winds of me that enabled me to walk in the shoes of many women whose journey through and out of abuse and trauma I share. My life's work has been shaped by the hearts and spirits of women who honored me with trust and vulnerability as I assisted them toward their own empowerment and emancipation. As a queer elder of many colors, I walk and live, love, and thrive with grace, wisdom, and ongoing guidance of our star ancestors, the wisdom passed on to me from above, and the medicine I have gained from the many teachers from all paths that have led me to my own wholeness and peace. I'm grateful to offer their messages to us all through the books that I'm asked to write, the voice I still have to speak it into the winds, and the spirit that still burns with the fire and passion of one who seeks to contribute to a new journey, a better dream for all women, and consequently for our human tribe. The urgency of the moment, the world that is at the precipice of a grand transformation, has called me to join the hearts and hands of my sisters, who also find themselves being called to act in this now moment. Whatever I can do, whatever I can offer, it is my giveaway at this important time. There can be no greater call for me to answer in this season of my life. The next generations and those yet to be born require us all to help each other through the fear and intimidation of the fear caller's dark night of our collective soul, and to collectively light the way toward the world all women deserve to live in, free in body, mind, heart, and spirit, emancipated to own and be herself, and sovereign enough to be a light in the darkness for another sister, that she too can be free.
That is very, very beautiful, very inspiring, very resonating, you know, that we all call upon the many journeys of our lives. And when you say to speak truth into the wind, right? So I haven't checked on what grievous harm Hurricane Milton might have done, but you know, again, if we're not in the terror of a storm, you know, our ancestors would converse, would listen to it. What do you have to say, you know, you great spiraling? And I was encouraging, you know, I have a number of groups going on, right, and encouraging, may the hurricane sweep bamboozlement out of collective messenger mind. So we want to cooperate with everything. So about astrology, I go, it's not what's going to happen, but what's assigned, what's the assignment, and what's available with which to cooperate, right? So we had started a great conversing. We want to pick it up. Well, we'll just cut to the chase, because when we met in our contained, dedicated fashion, you did go on about, yes, this election, and Biden's the 100th monkey, yes. And Kamala Harris born on the full moon, a dragon, you know. So wherever you want to go with that, because that's exotic in the world of progressives who are like, I'm going to vote for Jill Stein, or whatever it is. We want to put
not.
The danger.
Yes.
Anyway, I hand it to you, and we'll to and fro. Already. But yes, wherever you want to go with that in your bold affirmation.
Well, let me just begin by first of all, thank you again, and I'm happy that we're all having conversations at this time, which is really probably our own journey of sovereignty. And without us being sovereign and owning our own autonomy, I don't know how we can be those beacons of light. But thinking of that storm and the hugeness of those two storms back to back and the ones that will continue to happen, I am reminded of a teaching I learned about us as light workers, as lighthouses. So we'll first say to ourselves, to be a beacon of light, to be a lighthouse, lighthouses are always built on dangerous land. We are in a dangerous time. And so for each of us to choose to be a lighthouse is to send out the purest light we can without, you know, attachment to the message. We need to send out the purest light. And if we understand that a synonym for light in this context from the elders is truth. Oh, my goodness. The brighter the light, the darker the dark, is it not? The shadow can be seen more clearly when we have our bright lights on. So what are we going through right now? We're going through our darkest night so we can see the brightest light. When I think about what we're going through right now, I'm kind of blown away that I'm alive to see it. I heard about it. I read about it. My teachers have shared this time with me, that this is not just a little social change. This is the paradigm shift. And so we're looking at, I'll just say, the karma of the United States of America. The karma, because the Akashic records are closing, our karma's done at the end of the Mayan calendar 2012. We get to choose the world we want to live in, and we must take the responsibility to build that world. But how can you do that if you don't know truth? And why do I say it's the karma of the United States? Because we have never been taught or spoken whole truth, have we? Like for example, earlier today, I was actually talking to our friend Pintacrow, and I said, you know, look at the karma here. Why do you think immigration is such a big deal here? It's because as First Nations people, we have an issue with the first immigrants, and the first immigrants are the ones, well, you know what I'm saying. And I said, and we never speak about us as the First Nation. This was our nation, and all those people who came from other places, we didn't have that Statue of Liberty. You know, it's not standing out there welcoming everyone when the first immigrants came. And because we never spoke that truth about what that was really like, we create this sort of historical generational guilt, this sort of generational shame, sort of this historical thing that we want to push down into the I don't know, wherever you want to hide things. And right now, hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis, and the Earth Mother is uprooting and unearthing all of these things so we can build a better tomorrow based on truth, not wishful thinking, not illusions. And so right now, it's kind of scary because we're shattering illusions of what we thought we were. You know, we've been the various states of America, but we have yet to become united. And so what's our teaching right now? We must be united, but not united in fear. That's what the other dark fear callers are helping us do. They don't have to, and they want to unite us in fear. And we are now in that battle between love and fear, dark and light. But I keep telling people, you know, it's like the yin and yang symbol. At the top of the yin and yang, the beginning of the darkness is small, but then it grows, just kind of like as the Mother Earth, the grandmother moon, comes into her fullness or goes into her new moon. You know, we are increasing the darkness so we can see what we're dealing with. Many of us who have been marginalized people our whole lives, we've been seeing this from the beginning. The rest of everybody else is now getting to see it. Turn on the light. Oh, we don't have our dimmer switches anymore. It's bright light, and you know how it is when it's neon.
It's a good time. We're going to dive into some greater darkness to address. Just to put it on the table. One is I love. I'm not going to play Mrs. Betty again. She's a great satirist, but deliverer of truth on YouTube, and she just goes through the ways that the pre-coup chicanery is already in place, deleting voters. Texas wins. Texas took 1 million voters off. Other states, 400,000 voters. You know, RFK Jr. is sabotaging the Wisconsin election by insisting on having a little thing over his name, a little sticker which will require hand counting. I'm like, duh, duh, you know. But our good protectors, Mars and Cancer opposite the moon, calling on all who are protectors of democracy and life on this planet. Our good legal protectors like Mark Elias have about 100 lawsuits. Yeah. So it's neck and neck, but we're gonna play this astounding thing. Heather Cox Richardson, just late at night, she was like, everybody must listen to this or watch this, you know, and we'll listen. And I always follow her lead. So here is the Theo Bros and about J.D. Vance. So here we go.
Okay.
Yes, there are Christian nationalist influencers. Let me introduce you to the Theo Bros.
We can't force people to have faith in Christ, but we can as a people order that.
I'd rather have a Christian monarchy than our current state of affairs.
We could argue that now is the time to arms again.
So the Theo Bros are a group of mostly millennial Christian pastors and influencers. Many of them, most of them even, will tell you that they are Christian nationalists.
We are indeed Christian nationalists.
They're purposefully extreme and extremely online, so they're obviously connected to J.D. Vance.
There's this group called the Rockbridge Network. J.D. Vance was a founder. Peter Thiel is involved, and also this guy, Chris Buskirk.
And then, of course, Chris Buskirk, a great friend of mine.
Who was involved in American Reformer, which is kind of the unofficial magazine of the Theo Bros. I think it's important to say that not all of them hold every belief. That being said, I think some common beliefs that I have encountered are that we should be repealing the 19th Amendment. They'll talk about the dead Constitution and how the Ten Commandments should take its place.
I want a Christian nation more than a republic.
I think all Ten Commandments should be legislated and enforced.
Some of them talk about prison reform, and by prison reform they mean public flogging instead of prison. Some of them talk about executing heretics. Involved in that is also execution of gay people.
But it's not just online. They're doing conferences, writing books, doing events.
One of the things that's been interesting lately is that some of their events have started to overlap with some events of more kind of mainstream politicians. And I think probably the most prominent example was the National Conservatism Conference, where you had Doug Wilson speaking at this conference.
And of course, coming to the high treachery, you were all no doubt anticipating I would address, make all our teens woke by means of chemtrails.
And you had J.D. Vance speaking there.
America is a nation. It is a group of people with a common history and a common future.
Now, if Theo Bros are kind of the millennial posters of the Christian nationalist movement, Doug Wilson is sort of like the boomer who passed the torch.
He has sort of built his own little Christian fiefdom in Moscow, Idaho. He has this church. He has, you know, helped to start a school, like a K-12 school there. He has a college there, New St. Andrews College, that he's helped to found as well.
Now, it's this community in Idaho that he's built that Theo Bros see as sort of a blueprint for what a Christian America could and should look like.
Creating a legal framework in which people could create intentional communities where they could build something new would be a good idea to allow people to experiment.
Just like Doug Wilson, so too do many of the other Theo Bros want to do this in various places in the United States.
But he's also built this other type of blueprint for Christian nationalist influencing.
He was telling me about how he has his kids helping him produce these very slick videos.
The left is the cancer and Trump is the chemo.
He's taking some of these ideas. He's really making them for a broader audience and for a younger audience.
Now, at this point, you might ask, where are all the women?
If you asked some of these guys where the women were, they would say they're at home, like taking care of the kids.
Godly women want to feed their men. Godly women are designed to make the sandwiches. When women were granted the right to vote, we were so muddled we thought we were giving the franchise to women when we were in fact taking it away from families.
And just for the record, you know, yeah, I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed. I think that because, well, first and foremost, because I'm a Christian. If we had a Christian nation and women could vote, then within 50 years we would no longer have a Christian nation.
They don't think that women should be in leadership roles. They don't think that women should be out there voicing their opinions.
As we already know, Vance holds very particular views on gender.
If you bought into an idea that it's liberating to leave an 8-week-old baby to go work 90 hours a week at Goldman Sachs, you've been had.
You have women who think that truly the liberationist path is to spend 90 hours a week working in a cubicle at McKinsey instead of starting a family and having children. To me, what it is sort of a value system to replace the fact that they're all fundamentally atheist or agnostic.
The people who are most deranged and most psychotic are people who don't have kids.
It's clear that they see J.D. Vance as someone who will help further their vision of a country that puts Christianity above all else.
I think these guys saw one of their collaborators in the White House. It would be proof to them that all of the effort that they have made, all of the time and money that has been invested, that it was all paying off.
There's so much more to this story, including connections to Project 2025, more about the web of J.D. Vance and Theo Bros that I can't even dream of touching on in a video like this. So go read Kira Butler's full piece at motherjones.com.
Yes, do go read Kira Butler's full piece at motherjones.com. It's free online. And so, yeah, many people have put out, you know, J.D. Vance is the front guy, or let's say the front that once they, if they got into the White House, they would get rid of Trump, 25th Amendment, and then J.D. Vance and Peter Thiel and Opus Dei and all these guys would be there. Okay, so did you know any of that? This is what
I didn't know that was. I mean, you articulated what you could sense and see that was happening, but you're putting words to it, yes. And listening to that, I'm like, there it is.
There it is. The Inquisition
right
is back.
Because, yeah.
Right? And even the evangelical, I can't remember his name, maybe in the Cauldron of Oblivion, but who hosted J.D. Vance, they did a presentation together, and this evangelical talked about Kamala Harris as a witch. and that she has an occult magnetism. And it was so inquisitional because as the guy was talking, he was sort of lasciviously like, she has this occult magnetism. Oh, you know, and it was so, you know, again, generations of inquisition. It's right here, right? I'll toss it back to you just by saying it's like the gods are trying to make, you know, things really simple. Like, is this clear enough for you humans to see this thing? Opus Dei, the kind of black magic department of the Catholic Church for a long time, but they practice black magic. Anyway, yes, back to yourself. So yes.
When I hear all of this, and I've been watching it for a while in the context, as I said in my bio, spent 50 years of my life working specifically in domestic violence and sexual assault. And when I looked at 50 years of doing that, before it was even criminalized against the law, most of my work is deeply in the training field of looking at the origins of this issue, which is 2,000 years of patriarchy. It is about power and control, power and privilege and entitlement. And if I look at it through that lens, as Kamala Harris would say, I know Donald Trump's type. I know J.D. Vance's type. I know how you are fighting for the love of power versus the power of love. And you will use anybody, person, place, or thing to have power and control over one person in an intimate partner relationship. It's one person. Here it is, one nation. And so it is a systemic issue. I've been watching it for years. And I'm like, wow. And why does that happen? Because we have been lulled into a certain level of passivity and thinking that, oh, in that same sort of patriarchal model, there's one at the top who's supposed to fix it all. And I don't know about many of us, but we, you know, many of us didn't come from like the healthiest patriarchal models in our own lives. And so part of us is to find our own voices about this. And I think you are correct. What's hard is to accept this truth. Like, if, you know, being a survivor in an abusive, traumatic a relationship, the first thing you have to do is wake up. Why do you think they want this anti-woke situation? So that we will not see what we see, hear what we hear, know what we know. It happens. Every battered woman knows this feeling. Everybody who's ever been in a violent relationship knows this pattern. And knows what you will do. J.D. Vance is like the batterer's son who has taken that on and who will do him in. And you are absolutely correct that they're just trying to get this little empty shell of a person in there because he's used up. His purpose is used up, and even he is shriveling up knowing it.
And then just in keeping with the opportune right now, everybody, Pluto stationing, going direct tomorrow at 5:34 p.m., it often shows in the news, and we're here to alleviate that. But I when we first met some weeks back, Elaine, I think I brought this up, but it stayed with me forever. I was doing a reading in person for a woman who was in a truly dangerous, physically dangerous marriage and couldn't leave for all the reasons we know. And trickster comes through us, you know, and so as we got up to depart, I said, okay, we understand, but the entire team of women in similar circumstances counting on you. And she sat up straight and she said, really? The whole team of women in similar circumstances counting on me? Well, bleeping hell. Went home, got a restraining order, kicked the guy out, volunteered in a woman's shelter that dedicated her life to helping abused women. And so sometimes our shadow is our goodness. It's our goodness, you know. And I just want to say to everybody with Elaine Whitefeather right now, the whole team is counting on us, right?
That's right. And that's why I think that when I talked about the sovereignty of women, you know, why do we say that? Because in our indigenous model, we're understanding our way. Women are their life givers and the nurturers of life. We are the Mother Earth. We are the spirit of the Pachamama. We are the ones who think about the next generation and everything else that comes from that. So why would you attack gender female? Because it is the birth of the new paradigm, which is based, oh, Lord, on love. Heart, compassion, spirit, you know, the stuff everybody's longing for, the stuff we've prayed for generations, but we're trying to power it on. We can't do it that way. And so I'm saying to everyone, your truth is important. Your voice is so important right now. And Kamala represents not a Black South Asian woman, though that is what she physically is. She represents that beginning of this new world we've been working toward. How many of us in our darkest night have prayed for just such a thing? A thought, a light, hope, something that's more joyful than fear and oppression and figuring out how to keep coping and surviving. That's what's leaving us. If we will each stand up and see it and don't be afraid of the truth, embrace it, is as you say, your darkness, the shadow, can be your ally. Can be an ally. Even the part of you that played the trickster and lied and cheated and stole and had those kind of not so good thoughts. Hey, if you can own that in yourself, you'll see it better out than somewhere else. You'll see it. You won't
I just want to replace your word trickster with the con, because part of what's on the ballot is, can Americans discern the difference between the con and the liberating trickster again?
Yes, really. I love that. Let's call it the con. Yes, that's perfect.
Let's call it the con. I'm keeping trickster. I'm keeping trickster as sacred being.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I'll honor that. Yes. So yes, that is the ultimate con is happening. And can you feel that? Do you feel manipulated? Do you feel like something's not right? Do you feel like after you hear that you're like, what is wrong with this? And just even that thought tells you you're right. There's something wrong with this. Can you see that? And do you agree with that? Is that okay with you? Because if it is not okay with you, then make the other choice. It's not really all that hard, you know. They tell people, don't be paying attention to the person, pay attention to the message, the path. Which path is going to lead you to your sovereignty?
And just so somebody had said, you know, you think Kamala's going to save you, but I'm going to vote for Muzza. And I go, no, there's a lot of presumption in that. No, I don't think Kamala's going to save us. We're all teammates. We're all in this thing together. You might think that your candidate is going to save you, but let's throw that into the cauldron. No one's going to save us. It's us, you know. Where's the energy going? Yeah.
I think Kamala brings us the slogan that represents our mission. We the people. Is this our country or not? We the people, that we get to choose. We get to choose the path we want to walk. We get to choose who shall be our captain of our team. But it's our nation. It is our world. It is the way we want it to be, finally, right? And finally, if we learn the lessons to say, don't say what you want and give it to one other person to make happen. Say what you want and get in there and make it happen. That person is being brave enough to take the front end. That's all. They're brave enough to take the first shot. They're brave enough to take the first hit. But I want Kamala to know there's a whole masses of people behind her. And she is not the savior. She is the symbol of us saving ourselves.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, because it is an ongoing conversation in which people go, oh, you're voting for Kamala Harris, you're voting for genocide. And it's like, there's more stories going on at once. And, we'll have a short, jolly, pertinent break music in a couple minutes. But on the other side, you know, much to do and to animate, to bring alive, you know, to entice people into the conversation, you know, about, you know, well, the word, you know, inaugurate comes from the augur within us all, the diviner who goes out into nature and nature speaks, everything's speaking to us, and guides us in our dedicated hearts, you know, to the most responsible human at the moment, and then they are inaugurated. So everything has magic to it back down. And I'm going to tie you and Octavia Butler together when we come back on the other side of the break. Because it works. It's we'll call in the ancestors. We call in everybody we need now. So
everyone.
I thought this is just such an uplifting song by Hamid El-Shaari, who's Libyan. Considered a leading force in popular Arabic music in Libya and Egypt. And so this is Heli Meli, which means come and sway towards me. And it's very up. You know, again, like the genius of reggae music is the darker the lyrics, the jauntier the tune. You know, real medicine comes from people under pressure, right? And so this is earned jauntiness, you know, and the words are so great. It's Arabic. The lyrics and the vocals make it a fine example of modern Arabic pop music. We'll tell the sorrow to leave us. Let love be our path. There you go, Elaine. Yeah, all of us,
yeah.
Step by step, song by song, we will surround life with our desire. So here we go, Helly Melly.
Here we go.
Hamid El-Shaari. Isn't that great?
I love that.
Also Pluto stationing, dance with demons. Dance with demons.
I'm calling you.
Yeah. No, yeah. And just let me repeat the words of the song. Helly Melly, come and sway with me. And it's like, and the words, the refrain is, we'll tell the sorrow to leave us. Let love be our path. Step by step, song by song, we will surround life with our desire. Right, our desire and our dedication to life, that's a beautiful thing. There's a grand trine in water. So we go, right, so we love those things. Underneath Big Mama and fluidity and dancing with demons, especially tomorrow. Little footnote, I track Pluto stationing. It's quirky. Again, these are assignments, not descriptions, but it has been descriptive in the past. The first time I was noticing, I think Pluto was stationing, it was some years back, it was a heavy snow, and within a minute of the station, the first bomb in the World Trade Towers went off before 9/11 in the garage, in the underworld garage. I'm like, oh man, the news is literal. And then many things, and 9/11, you know, many, many things. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, so it's mm-hmm. like, so it's for all of us, and, you know, guided by Elaine's woofiness, and all woofy women, regardless of age, race, and gender assignment within everybody, you know, is called to compost the Inquisition with that kind of jaunty, dancing quality as part of our repertoire, right? Isn't that great?
Yes, it's awesome. It's such coyote medicine, huh?
It's very beautiful. And again, you know, from pressure, it's like the Lebanese poetry, the Palestinian poetry, the music from Lebanon, is powerful because it comes from under pressure. Again, part of your lifelong ministry, Elaine, yeah?
Yes, because when you are coming from this place, it's like coal that gets pressed into a diamond, you know?
Yeah.
And what happens is that lightness gives a higher frequency than fear and sorrow. And that's actually what you see happening with Kamala and, you know, the other dude. It's what you see Jim. Happening. Her frequency is so much higher.
It's so kind. Much higher. It's genuine. It's said, genuinely kind. Yeah.
There's something that you said in the description. You had said it is an earned, you know, it is earned lightness. It is earned happiness. It is earned joy. I think we all need this. How do I want to say this? Everything about this election and what's happening right now is the metaphor for us earning our hopefulness. That's where we are right now. We must earn our hopefulness. She inspired it. She gave birth to it. Here it is. You know, Joe Biden did the thing that he was supposed to do. That was what his soul was asking him to do. At the moment that it happened, everybody thought, oh, it's not enough time. I'm like, it's the perfect amount of time. You can get any more time, people are going to get in their heads even more, and it's going to be terrible. No, we need to go with our instinct and our intuition and our heart, which we have failed to trust because the darkness has sown so much confusion. It doesn't have to have certainty. That's what people are looking for. I need to be certain before I know who to vote for. I'm like, no, the darkness wanted only to make you confused, only to make you doubt. Trust your heart and your spirit. And this is our efforts, our truth speaking, our connecting to one another, our pushing through our own fear of, oh, my God, will I upset somebody if I speak truth? I'll just say what my old Apache teacher said to me. The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. And it's true. And so we must not be afraid of that truth because it is our light.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, and this light that we have is shining it in the face of the darkness. And we must choose a greater path. We have to get bigger. You know, we must be like the eagle and see it from this greatest place of our spirit and not be afraid to hope. Don't be afraid to hope. Don't be afraid for tomorrow. Don't be afraid for what we are creating. You've got to destroy crap before you can give birth to something. You know, that's what's happening. But we give birth to love and compassion. Do you see? Everybody's like, everybody's thinking, oh, our neighbors are taking care of each other. Again, did anybody ask which party you are in the moment? No. These are the teachings of Mother Earth right now, is to restore the divinity in humanity. That's our quest, to restore the divinity in humanity. And right now we're getting an example of the opposite. So we can make a better choice.
Yeah, no, and I wanna set up a date right now between Octavia Butler and us, and Octavia Butler and you, Elaine Whitefeather. But first, right? I just have to remind everybody that Bill McKibben, yay Mars Cancer, yay protectors of the Earth, yay positive Yang, you know, wrote, you know, he writes so well, but his piece last week, you know, water. Warm air carries more water. Come on, team, let's understand this. And it takes it from somewhere. The Amazon's on fire, you know, and that's why he said he's spending every moment now to the election in swing states educating people that the earth is on the ballot. You know, come on, you know, as they say in the South, we ain't play acting now, children. I mean, this is for real.
Come on.
You know, and it's like, it's you know, but yeah. And then I'm just, I love having you here as backup too. So I don't have to, because people would say, oh, if you're voting for Kamala, you have no integrity. And I have integrity. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm the into the cauldron. Anyway. So, yeah. So you and Octavia,
you know what? The essence of what you just said, though, is they do have integrity. They have integrity with their fear. They have integrity with their beliefs. They have integrity with their own shadow. But that's not the integrity we are looking for. We are looking to align ourselves with our greater self, not our lesser self. Our greater self. And Kamala represents that. And not you know, she just represents that. And she's not even, like, trying. She just is it. She just is it.
Well, help me, Elaine, to compost my inner critical progressive. That when you say that, I can hear the sneering, like, no, Kamala is an exorcism. I want to exorcism the constraining internal sneering voice. You know, it's like Alison Laurie said. The reason the reason academic politics is so vicious is because the stakes are so small. It's like the stakes are not small here, team, which is why the petty quibbling and all of that. So you and Octavia Butler. Okay, here we go.
The privilege of pettiness is what I call that. Don't have the privilege of pettiness. We do not have the privilege of pettiness. We do not have that. Wait till after this part is done and light has won. Okay? And I will also say this last part. Light is winning. Light is winning. If we were not winning, you wouldn't see such dark ugliness. Like, if can it get uglier? Yes, it really can. But we can't heal it until we get it all out. So the other thing I can tell everyone, if you don't want to, you want to know what's happening, everything that is being said from the shadow, the reason why you don't think it's so outrageous is because maybe you haven't looked inside yourself to find your own outrageous stuff. Let it go. Let it go. It comes from some place that's no longer relevant. Right now, it is the last part you said about the song. To tell us what we desire. We must know what we want. Yeah. And I think that's what Kamala says. What kind of America do you want to live in? It's your choice. But you got to take your burden basket. You got to take your responsibility for that choice and do your part for your choice. So if you want to live in darkness and you just want one person to be the boss of you, because sometimes I can understand that, then go there. But it's not what the rest of us want.
You know, the people... who think they're voting for a third party candidate that across the nation, that's maybe 6 to 12%, small but significant. But as Representative Rua points out, it's 33% of eligible voters who haven't voted. We want the wins. The wins come, you know, the mission, rise up for a mission, you know, and absolutely to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable that we all have in our hearts, you know, and for Gaza as well, which is, elect and work with, you know, and when you look at the former guy, the Trump person and the RFK thing, you know, he talks about, deporting legal immigrants and the Haitian migrants in Springfield, and you know, and saying we're going to deport so many. He says it will be bloody, and he's calling for a national day of violence. I mean, are we paying attention as to the lives that are on the line and the true horror? He's talking about deporting American citizens who protest in favor of Palestinians. Just put it on the table. It's just so you and Octavia Butler, okay, and Octavia Butler and all of us. So here she is, born June 22nd, 1947, departed too soon, but right on the summer solstice, incarnational agent of Big Mama, the moon. You know, so her novel, I've said this before, but it's an important part of the narrative, her novel, The Parable of the Sower, and the sequel, she wrote it in 1993, and it begins on July 21st, 2024. Which was a full moon that she must have noted about. And it's a full moon resonant with what we have before us right now. It was a full moon at 29 Capricorn, the council of wise beings, the council of wise women reaching back into time dedicated to the next seven generations, opposite Sun and Cancer. So she begins the novel then. And in the novel, there is a terrible autocratic dictator, violent cuckoo person. I mean, she gets a lot completely right, and the earth's on fire, and women's rights are at stake, and indigenous people are being burned. I mean, she gets it right. It's dystopian because the autocrat is running against a man that she says is good-hearted, except for Gaza, good-hearted, but he's a pale ghost. And so the autocrat wins. So backstage, I was going, Olivia, Octavia, come on in. We got to do a rewrite. You know, as this full moon was waxing on July 21st. Come on in, please. Help us rewrite the story, you know. And the full moon swooshes in. And it was within minutes of the exact full moon on Sunday morning that Biden hands the baton to Kamala. And it's like, ooh. Ooh, all right. And then the next full moon was August 19th, which was the Democratic Convention, and then we had the full moon of metabolizing poison, and now we're on a first quarter on our way to the full moon. But so it's like, woo. So Elaine Whitefeather and Octavia, like many of us, she had Mars in Taurus, square Leo planets, right? You also Elaine Whitefeather, have many, many planets. Yeah, your Moon and your Venus are right on her Mars, and your Mercury square Pluto in Leo at the degree of Zuni Indians participate in a ritual to the sun. And so it's all Earth, Earth, animism, animism, and then the death and resurrection show of Pluto, which you both have, you know, again, theater for the Earth, right? So isn't that, you know, part of your, that is you.
That's a trip, Carolyn.
Right, right. Well, that's for all of us to plight our troth,
Yeah.
So we're beseeching Octavia to come in and let's all settle down in, you know, the Asclepions, the places of dream incubation. But also, I love my friend Sylvia remembering the screenwriter's hut, you know, in the golden days of Hollywood, where there were smart, idealistic people working in the 20s and 30s. We're all meeting in the screenwriter's hut with Octavia Butler to write a better story, to write a better story that's all inclusive. Is that a fun idea?
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. One of the reasons when you were speaking about everything's happening from the star grandmothers, and when it was Kamala, and all this while I'm thinking, when are you going to pass it to Kamala? When are you passing it? When are you passing it? Because I'm waiting for this drum beat. The beater of the drum is literally passed from the male to the female. That's the vision. It's literally passed, like you do in a 4x40 relay. And so in seeing that, I'm like, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And every I'm listening to everybody. I'm like, don't pressure him. The man has got to come to it from his own. He's got to feel this as the right moment. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be divine. And then when I said, and it had to be a biracial person from East and West. It had to be. Why? Because when you are multiracial and you're not today's people, because today's people are the new generation. Today's people are the tomorrows, are the tomorrow people of the beloved community we are creating. Today's multiracial. I mean, I'm so excited. I got hair care products. I'm 72. Come on, they didn't have stuff for me when I was little. I look at her and I think, why? Because when you are a multicultural person, a multiracial person, you have to live from the center of the medicine wheel. You cannot pick one or the other. You are the representation, the symbology of, you can't hate people because you are them. You will hate your own self if you have to hate any of these people. And I'm like, so when you're born with two races like that, you're born in the center of that. You already can see both sides. I said, but we're not used to that in this dominant culture where everybody wants to pigeonhole in one block or the other and, you know, fill in your square thing. I said, but now this new world is showing us, we are looking for the character of a leader. We are not looking at physicality anymore, but that symbology is like that symbology of the Earth Mother and the Pachamama. A mother is going to love her child like only a mother can, no matter how or what or how that child is. And sadly, even for this other person, whose mother's on the other side, who's probably suffered greatly, will still have some place in her that says, well, I got to love him because who else is going to? A mother has that capacity. Women have this innately. We follow the moon and the seasons and the time, and we think about our ancestors and the ones to come. We are the birthing right now, all of us, out of the feminine part of us, our heart, our spirit, our creativity, our inspiration, our innate kindness and loving kindness as human beings. We are giving birth to our own divinity. And when we do that, we see that sacred in everyone. So our work begins only to get this lighthouse in this White House and the rest of everyone who can help her. She helps us. She's just the one at the top of the ship, but we're all on the same one. And brave enough, like only fierce mothers can be, to use the formidable force of love to get through anything. I'm asking us all to find that formidable force of love that's in you somewhere. It makes you rise up and say, no, not this time. This is our land, our country, our vision,
our future, and no one, no one person or groups of little men in their own fear shall call us to be afraid. Now, this is our time. It has been written. It has been spoken. It has been sung. It has been danced. It has been drummed. This is the moment. Our ancestors light the campfires for us. And so I say, may we be the ones. May we be the ones that bring forward the good, the true, and the beautiful. May we be those ones to break the harmful family, generational, national dysfunction and bring forward the good, the true, and the beautiful of the United States of America.
That's your inauguration speech. That's great. we can see that. We can see that happening. I'm sorry. So what did you say?
No, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So decolonizing everything, right? I mean, it's before all of us, everything we love, including the astrological language, you know, which has this thing about, you know, well, I love the exaltation part, is really planets exalted in certain signs. That feels right. But then there's the detriment and the fall. So Venus now is in Scorpio, right on my Venus. Mm-hmm. And the medieval guys were like, oh, that's very bad. That's very no priesthood. That's very sorceressy. And it's like, that's why we like it. It was called its detriment. And it trines Mars in Cancer. And Mars in Cancer is thought of as in its detriment because it's exalted in Capricorn. We go, why should Mars yang woofiness be in any way dissed in the sign of protecting and providing nourishment? Let's decondition everything, every practice that we've studied, every chapter going, wait a minute. And they're right now, the beautiful, the previously dissed Venus, the previously dissed Mars in their supportive glory are trining each other and both trining Saturn right now. And Saturn says to everybody, you know, it's like, do what you, you know, let's see, autonomy is a sacrament. Do what is autonomous, you know, and it's true, you know, 33% of the voters vote. You know, it's got to be a massive thing with the level of chicanery and violence that's before us. It's got to be a profound repudiation, you know, of what you're saying, a profound repudiation of cruelty and dominance and bloodshed and you know, all of that, as opposed to a voting for. For people,
yes. It's that we need to go file that TRO, we need to file for a divorce, and we need to become autonomous and own our own lives. That's all we're doing. Get that TRO and say no more.
That's good. And then there was another thought, but it went away. And the Jupiter-Pluto, one going inward, one going outward. You know, years ago, Jim Lewis, great San Francisco and more astrologer buddy of mine, said, look at Jupiter-Pluto. They're incredible for publicity. I'm like, well, that's an odd word. But then tracking the mythology, Jupiter is storytelling. Pluto is death and rebirth. Its primary totem is the scorpion, the eagle, then the phoenix. And before the phoenix bursts into flames and is reborn, she sings this hauntingly beautiful song. And all of creation stops and listens to the phoenix's song and is reminded of what's really important, what you're saying, beauty and art and kindness and reciprocal blessing and symbiosis and democratic animism and kindness to all beings and, you know, all of that. And so when I found that, I go, okay, we say the phoenix got a lot of publicity. All of creation listened to her song. So to everybody here, you know, what is your phoenix's song? You know, to spiral into the whirlwinds, right? What is most important? Oh, what I was going to say several paragraphs back. Done election magic councils for a while, often with ally Pat Ewing, and I loved in 2020, wonderful friend Evangeline from Minnesota said, well, this was helpful because I was going to vote my conscience. I'm like, oh, God, no, don't do that. because I had everybody design their own ballots. You know, draw your own ballot with the earth blooming and, you know, Bill McKibben as Department of the Interior and, I mean, whatever. Draw the desirable thing, you know, and there are so many good people good people running. Tammy Baldwin is now in Jeopardy in Wisconsin. Thank you, RFK Jr. She's a regenerative farming person. The woman running for Congress in Wisconsin is, you know, a small farm person. These are people who love the earth. These are organic farmers, you know, and they're, anyway, so much to support.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Yes. And the Phoenix's song, Spiral It Forth, like, did you know that this is a good person? Or somebody, or at least someone we can work with, as opposed to, you know,
exactly.
On behalf of Gaza, on behalf of all of life, on behalf of the wolves, everything, yeah, right.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Because you reminded me something so that stuck with me. I heard a brief little interview, and I don't even know the context of this, you know, forgive me for that part, because it's the part that stood out. But it was the endorsement of Kamala from the Arab American Coalition. And Galata got a lot of heat and everything for doing that, but it was after Kamala spent time speaking to them. And his words were this. It's not that she changed my mind, but she gave us space and time, and we understood a bigger picture. And I'm saying we must do this now, because we have a choice between a path that will that it's absolutely closed to anything, that any possibility of change, or we can choose a path that opens the door so conversations and change can happen. And I said, that is my hashtag slogan from Turtle Women Rising and Painted Crow. Choose your path towards sovereignty. That's all you're doing. Choose a path of sovereignty so you have the chance to make change. So you have the opportunity to make change. The other path is a closed door. You're going to walk in there and you will be trapped.
Or it's a closed door into a cell, right?
Yes, you know, it's a life sentence. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going on death row.
Lock up political opponents, lock up the press, lock up the thing.
Yeah.
And we'll stay. This is not over on election day. Well, even the election is probably not over on election day.
No,
it's like the creepitude is not going away. This is ongoing, and also the negotiations to and fro with whomever we elect in whatever office is like. We're all in this together and working it, and we want a climate where that is possible, as opposed to if you raise your hand, excuse me, you're exiled, you're headed out of the country. Anyway, thank you,
and it's
Elaine.
beyond our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's
beyond
our country. This is a global situation and a global change. So yes,
the whole world is
beginning a new journey.
The whole world is counting on us. Thanks always to Kirsten Thomas. Wonderful board up. Thank you, Elaine Miami Whitefeather. We will keep conversing. Keep conversing.
We will.
Yeah.
My
and
honor.
To the whole
thank
team.
You so much.
Woof 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 woof. Okay. Thank you, team.